All right, I have to tell you, next week is your final exam on angelology.
Oh, very good.
So we have to do this in two sections. I spent too long on angels. We've got to get into demons next. So right. We're actually going to start demons today.
Huh.
And so I'll hand those out to you. I want to just glance over some of the things, and then next week, as soon as you come in, as soon as we start angelology, you'll have your final exam, and we'll get it out of the way. And then you'll have a final exam at the end of the semester only on demonology. So that way it's fresh enough in your mind. There's just not so much material. Let's see. So let me just take you through the two kingdoms and angelic conflict here, because this will lead on to demonology here. And then I'll hand you the demonology pages here. So you should be on page, is it 20 in your book?
Yeah.
On the two kingdoms? All right. All right, now, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Okay. So I want you to look down at number C. Under the two kingdoms. One of the key features of Revelation concerns two main kingdoms. There's actually the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to understand, there's also the kingdom of this world. So I'm going to divide it into two, just two simple ones. The kingdom of this world, which is Satan's kingdom, and the kingdom of God. All right. I forgot about that. I didn't even notice that. B, we'll do B then. Speaking of the seven sealed book in Revelation, written on the inside and on the back, it undoubtedly contains the story of man's loss of his lordship over the earth. It now, the title deed has been given to Satan. So it is, your fill-in, it has been given to Satan, the usurper. And this recovery through the God-man, the Savior, the Lion, who is also the Lamb. The Lamb is alone able to accomplish what no one else in the universe is qualified and able to do. There are three great truths about the conquest of the earth by the Lord. God's purpose is declared that it was God's intention that man would rule over this earth under God's authority. God put him in charge and says, have dominion. Number two, God's purpose was delayed, though, because of the fall, as recorded in Genesis 3, Satan wrested, stole the rule away from man. God's intention was for man to rule over the earth, not angels, much less fallen angels. Number three, God's purpose fulfilled. It is promised in Genesis 3:15 that the Lamb would break Satan's hold by means of his incarnation, sinless life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and one day recover that which was lost through all the judgments of the seven seals as described in Revelation 6:19. So, one of the key features of Revelation concerns the two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Notice number D. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, there's some issues of Satan's rebellion. All right. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says that a woman is to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. She's supposed to have a covering over her head. And that's her hair, by the way. It's not a towel or a hat or something like that. But this suggests that the angels observe the submission of authority, and they work with authority. They work with right attitudes in homes. Submission glorifies God, while rebellion dishonors God and promotes Satan's goals. Now, I'm all for people marching down the street and calling for the government to change laws and things like this, but never is it right to rebel. Never is it right to turn over cars and burn out buildings and things like this. Now, that's why it's dangerous for a Christian to ever get involved in a march, if that march is going to become violent. Because rebellion is never right. At the root of the angels' keen interest in what God is doing today is the rebellion and the fall of Satan. As observers, all the angels were present when Satan, in his quest to be like the Most High, He sought to usurp God's sovereign rule, and this was an offense to the glory of God. The Lord also explicitly tells us that the lake of fire was prepared not for man, but for Satan and his angels. Though he is a defeated foe, Satan is not confined there now, but he and his fallen angels will be, and that is a great point of anticipation in the Bible. So because of Satan's sin, he was thrust out of his exalted place and became the great adversary of God and God's people. Revelation 12 is often referred to as showing that one-third of the angelic host chose to follow Satan, but the scripture reads that the lights of the sky are cast down. Look at Daniel chapter 8. I don't believe a third of the angels fell with him, by the way, if I could just be that clear. Look at Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. There may have been as many as a third. I have no idea. We just know angels. So, Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 to 12. Barry, would you read those for me?
8, 9 to 12.
Yes.
And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, and waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered.
Okay. Some strange language there, but the idea is, he, go to Revelation chapter 12, and here, the power of this prince is strong enough to reach up into the stars. Now, whether that brings down some angels with him, okay. But I think it's the stars. I think, and when he says stars, he's not talking about the literal burning balls of hydrogen there. I think he's just talking about the lights that are in the heavens, and he's casting down. So just like there's a huge mountain that falls out of the sky, which would be an asteroid, comets and things, the Antichrist is drawing down physical objects out of space onto the earth. It's just he's destroying the earth. So I'm thinking that it is actual literal lights from heaven, not just stars. We're going
to
see very.
Satan wouldn't really have power to that.
Say again?
He wouldn't really have power to cast on stars.
Are you kidding?
Space.
Why would you say that? The only thing that's keeping him from doing that is God. But God can step away and let him do whatever he wants. And if he wants to, he can do that. He can call down fire from heaven. Maybe that Revelation chapter 13. So I'm not. He is the second most powerful being in the universe. However, he has that power. I don't know. Angels fly. They have some power. They're not limited. They can move incredible objects. If the prayer of a Christian can ultimately move a mountain, what do you think an angel can do? So I don't put it by him. I take it literally. The only thing that's keeping the angels from creating intense havoc. The only thing that keeps him from creating intense havoc is God. He who now let it will let. He's in control. All right. So now we talk about the fall of angels. And they did fall. Why did they fall? Lucifer was a great leader. That's your first fill in there. Why did they fall? Because Lucifer's a great... Why do people end up doing stupid things? Why does a 14-year-old kid, as a 14-year-old kid, end up a thief? Because he was listening to somebody who convinced him to do it. You know, think about all the people who've influenced you. Think about this great influence of Lucifer. Why would angels turn away from God? Because Lucifer's a great leader. Great leaders. Think about Adolf Hitler. Why would the Germans take on the whole world? They weren't that stupid. But Hitler was a great leader, and they went, Heil Hitler! Everywhere you went, Heil Hitler! Praise Hitler! Hey, Hitler! He's great! Because they saw his greatness. Number B, so why did they fall? Whatever motivated Lucifer to pride and envy also motivated these angels. Remember, every great leader motivates his people with what they want. Germany will be a great nation again! So what do they want? Yeah, let's be great. He applied for whatever motive. It was what motivated.
Wasn't it a Christian?
Well, no, he most certainly was not. He hated Christians. Now, he used Christian symbols. He also had a lot of other symbols. He was your quintessential hodgepodge of whatever. He was into dreams and interpreting visions. He was into, he had a channeler. He had people telling him what day it, that this was the right day to attack. And he was completely a nut. He was not a Christian at all. Number C, music somehow played a part and still plays a part now with man's desire to live independent of God. When you're depressed and you have to have music to pick you up, that's pretty stupid. Alright, music can be a part of it. But a lot of people, they just put on their headphones and they just, you know, fade away and they think that they're being helped. And no, it actually creates you more of a demon. Can more angels fall? I want to say, I don't know. Angels have free will and evidently can fall, but I just know this, they cannot be redeemed. Number three, where did the fallen angels go? Well, we're going to answer that in a little bit, but suffice it to say fallen angels went into two possible realms. If they mixed with women in Genesis chapter 6, they were cast into the chains of darkness by the flood. According to 2 Peter 2 and Jude 1, they are bound in chains of the angels that fell. Not all angels, because there are more angels evidently free. If they mixed with women, they are in chains of darkness. If they didn't mix with women in Genesis chapter 6, they're still under the dominion of Satan, and they are free to rule this world as powers over powers. These all will one day be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. All right, and you know there is victory anticipated. We have to skip all of the rest of this. There's a lot of this today, but I got to run across. So, review your final exam that you took several weeks ago, and your interim exam that I gave you, your first exam, and then prepare next week. You will have many of the same questions asked differently, so pay attention for your final. Now we'll move on to demons. Devils.
Isn't that just all demons?
Well, that was just introducing two demons. Right. That was getting you ready for it. All right. Okay, listen to 1 Corinthians 10:20. Speaking of devils and demons and unclean spirits. But I say, Paul says, that the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Can Christians actually intermix with devils and be influenced by them and be fine with them? Yes. The 20th century has witnessed an almost complete turnaround in attitudes toward the reality of demons or devils. In the first part of the century, back there in the early 1900s, devils were commonly denied. But in the latter part of the 20th century, it is much more readily and universally affirmed. Undoubtedly, the increase in the number of witches, astrologers, as well as booming sales of accompanying paraphernalia, including trade journals for witches and things, have contributed to this change. When was the last time you saw the sales of Harry Potter? Incredible numbers. Everybody wants to have spiritual powers, man. Movies and books on the extraterrestrial have created a more favorable climate for the acceptance of demons. There's no doubt that the Bible, interpreted in normal fashion, testifies very clearly to the reality and activity of demons. Now, let's look at some. Now, not every spirit that there is from God. Let's go to 1 John 4, 1 to 4, John. 1 John 4, 1 to 4.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Alright, so there is a spirit in the world, and it's the spirit of the Antichrist, and it motivates false prophets. It really, really is quite alive and well. So some examples of spirits in the world. The first one is God. John 4:24. Anybody can quote that?
Worship
him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit.
Can I ask you a question there?
Yes, sir.
What would you answer someone who says that because someone confesses Jesus has come in the flesh, that means he's of God?
Okay.
Like there's law, but there's loads of false religions that do confess that Jesus is come in the flesh.
That's right. If I had written the Bible, I would have put a whole lot of caveats around that. But John is dealing with people who were saying that Jesus was just a man. So he's responding to the idea that Jesus, in people's minds, was not God come in the flesh. That he was not from God, he was just a good man trying to teach people how to get to God. So when he says, somebody says, as it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, again the word Christ means Messiah. So it's a Jewish concept in saying that Jesus the Messiah has come from God, it has come in the flesh, and it's not just a spirit, but that the Messiah is literally here. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah, that person's from God. And that person has the Spirit of God. Now, what you deal with is people say the words Jesus Christ, but they don't know what they mean. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, like the Jewish concept. So it carries with it all of the prophecies of who the Messiah was, that he would be from everlasting. In Micah 5:2, that says, Thou Bethlehem, though thou be little amongst the thousands, out of thee shall come he that shall be ruler of my people, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. And so, whoever is born is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. All of those characteristics of the Messiah, that's who Jesus was. So what you deal with are religions who will say, yeah, I believe Jesus, but they don't know the Christ. They actually believe in another Christ, which is the Antichrist. That's why he uses a phrase. So this is a very complicated scripture that doesn't have simplicity like we wish. I wish it would have written, somebody has to say X, Y, Z. But it's just that Jesus Christ physically was here, and he died, and he rose again. Everything that Jesus did, according to the Gospels, people have to believe. Not just, oh, I believe Jesus. See, what you do with the religions who have a surface truth of, yeah, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but they don't know what that means. It's like people I get every time I start discipleship. You know the one question always that comes up? What's the unpardonable sin? Like, how do you know about the unpardonable sin? But most people don't know what it is. They're afraid that they've committed it because they don't know all the background to it. So they don't know the background to this concept of Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And so I don't have a simple answer for you. You're just going to have to tell them. Christ, the word Christ makes a difference. When you understand who the Messiah is, according to the Old Testament prophecies, then I'll ask you, do you really believe that Jesus was the Messiah come in the flesh? Or was this just a dream? Was this just a spirit? Is this a Gnostic reality or is it a physical reality? There's all kinds of things at play in 1 John chapter 4.
My question, small question. Who is Antichrist and who is Christ? Because we can't differentiate people. Because they come like a hope and say, I'm like Jesus, just like this. So how to believe it?
There are
the Antichrist makes, I think you can understand.
Yeah. The Antichrist is people think of as an evil being. But the Antichrist is so good and is so deceptive and so much like Christ, but he's not. He's a fraud. And he will damn the world. Okay? But Christ was so humble and so real, and that he fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy that the... When he had power, he didn't use it and abuse it, did he? But the Antichrist will use and abuse his power to try to prove to people, I am the Christ. So it gets very big. So if you were to say, if you were to stand up, Jesus, the Christ, and next to him, the Antichrist, nobody could tell them apart if you didn't have a Bible.
Yeah.
If you're going to put them through the test and go, you fail. And if he fails in one point, he's not the Christ. Okay.
Good. That's what we have to get into the mind.
Yes, to be able to examine.
That's like sharp points.
Yes. So examples of spirits in the world, God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit. Angels are spirits. Number four, unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. Matthew 8:16, the unclean spirit in a man. Unclean means filthy, wicked, stuff that goes inside. I'm quite honest. I wonder how do girls marry guys, because I know most guys are demon-possessed. They're filled with unclean spirits. They are going to be an obnoxious person to try to live with. Unclean spirits. Number five, our own spirit within us. That's an example of spirit in the world. It says the spirit of a man, when it is a wounded spirit, who can bear? We have a spirit in us. Number B, defined spirits now. They're just as real as bricks and mountains and volcanoes and people. They are a power behind things seen. Ephesians 6:12. And Romeo, would you read that? Ephesians 6 and verse 12. They are a power behind the things that are seen.
Wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places.
Okay. So, flesh and blood are powerful, but there's a power behind that power. Those are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. So, they are powers behind the things that are seen. Let me read 2 Corinthians 3:6. It says this. Just for time, it says this, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit behind the Bible giveth life.
All right.
So there's a Spirit behind the things. What you hold in your hand is just a book with words on it, right? But there's a Spirit behind the letter. If you just read your Bible like the Jews will read their Old Testament, but they won't believe a word of it. They won't let the spirit that's behind the Bible convict them and convince them. So, they are also influences on people's lives. We're dealing with spirits in general. Whether they're demons or angels, doesn't matter. And they influence people's lives. Sometimes they work through dreams. Don't believe all your dreams. Okay. But they work through dreams. Number B, they work through emotions and feelings. See, they even work through your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations. Things that come into your head. Somebody put on Facebook there, Lord, help me, so whatever comes into my head doesn't always come out of my mouth. It's a good desire. Spirits will influence your thoughts. That's why we're commanded to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Ephesians 4:23. Barry, back to you. Ephesians
4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Okay. Not just in your spirit. See, a charismatic will say, a Pentecostal will say, be renewed in your spirit. Today, let's be refreshed in our spirit. Oh, let's lift up our spirits. Wait a minute. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. All right, so be on guard concerning your discerning, judging your own thoughts and the things that we feel and the things that we hear. And all angelic spirits were initially created to minister to us, as we read there in Hebrews chapter 1. But not all spirits are good. Just because something is spiritual doesn't mean it's good. They tend to get people only to produce questions, strife, and debates and doubts. Isn't that what Genesis 3? Yay. Excuse me. Did God really say that? Did he mean that? What do you think, Eve? So in 1 John 4:3, you've got people who are doubting that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So whatever is established, the devil will question. Not all spirits are good, too. Oftentimes, spirits tend to take over and dominate instead of allow people to consider. Go to Mark 9:26. John, Mark 9:26.
And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead.
Wow. So when the spirit dominates you, look at how it dominated that guy. And when it left, he wasn't in control of himself. He collapsed. The spirit was in total control of him. Okay. Number three, wrong spirits often become worse when they're not conquered and replaced. Matthew 12:43-45. Back to you, Romeo. Matthew 12:43-45. If you don't conquer a bad spirit, it will only grow worse.
When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. When he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation.
Wow. So you're able to defeat one thing, you get rid of smoking, but if you don't replace that with a godly thing, you'll end up with something 8 times worse. The wrong spirits end up damning people. Galatians 1 verse 6 says, if I or an angel from heaven, if we speak any other gospel unto you, they're from hell. And it'll keep you from getting saved. So, now let's look at some spirits that influence. I'm going to give you 12 wrong spirits and 10 right spirits. Okay. We can, I've got to move on. Galatians 1 is talking where Paul says, there's only one gospel. If anybody tries to preach another gospel unto you, they're from hell. Alright. Now let's look at some spirits that influence people. There are 12 wrong spirits. They are called the spirits of devils. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, 13 and 14.
And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty.
Wow. Okay. So here we have the spirits of devils. What are they? A, the spirit of anger. They are the spirit of anger. Beast. First one is the spirit of anger, Luke chapter 9. James and John want to burn up a village. And Jesus said, you have a wrong spirit. You don't even know what spirit you have. And the spirit of anger, spirit of revenge. Number B, the spirit of jealousy. Now, it's not necessarily totally wrong to have a spirit of jealousy, but this spirit will ruin your home. If you have a spirit of jealousy against your wife, and like she's constantly looking at other guys, And if you don't conquer that spirit, you're going to kill her, man. Remember, see the spirit of disobedience. Look at Ephesians 2:2. John, that's you.
Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit they now work in the children of disobedience.
All right, the spirit of disobedience. It works in children. Okay, King Saul had this spirit, as do most modern children. I wanted to show it on television. I wanted to show it in church. There's some comedian collected some videos from parents who told their kids that they ate all of their Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Terrifying.
They did it a couple of years ago, and I saw that. But this was the parents went and said, "I got some news for you." Said the kids there and said, I just have to tell you, Mommy and I ate all of your Halloween candy. And I mean, the kids were demon-possessed. Literally. I mean, just the anger out of those kids. Those parents need to go and get some serious training. There is the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61. Romeo, Isaiah 61, the spirit of... Some people are depressed not because of anything physical, but because of something spiritual in their life. You know what's sad? They won't listen. You know, if you've got a spirit running your mind and your heart, last thing you want to do is find out what it's going to cost to get it fixed, because you're used to that spirit and you just live that way. Isaiah 61:3.
To console those who mourn the Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of the joy of mourning.
For mourning, for sadness, for mourning.
Yeah. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
There's the spirit of heaviness. Good.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and he may be glorified.
All right. So there's a spirit of heaviness, which is really the concept of having overmuch sorrow, and God can replace that with the oil of joy. It's a demonic depression that people have. A lot of people are on drugs, and they can't get off the drugs because they can't. They're never happy unless they're on an upper, and they don't realize it's demonic. Yes, sir? Not all of it, but some of it. What are you going to say, Barry?
I'm trying to understand. Like, is disobedience... Like, is there a certain devil that is the devil of disobedience? And he's... Or is there multitudes of devils that are just, like, have that purpose of making people depressed and they enter into loads of people?
Okay.
And they're depressed, is that what you're saying?
I'll try to be specific, okay? Sometimes I'm general just for time. But there is a realm, okay? And there is a line of influence between people, all right, and their thinking, their feelings, their health, their decisions, okay? All of that is influenced by, we talked about, it is a spiritual realm that influences all of those things and more, okay? To say that there's one demon that creates depression, I don't know. I just know that demons or devils affect and because we can actually say they are powers. The Bible uses powers that can influence. So all of these things that influence me and my thinking and my feeling. And the moment I think that I'm fine is when the devil's convinced me that I don't need God. So it's a constant influence. I'm not my own man. I do not live in a bubble outside of two realms, a physical realm and a spiritual realm. And they both overlap. So are there devils that create depression? Yes. Or are there devils that that infest people's minds and make them go on a killing spree? Yes. Is there just spiritual powers that do that? Yes. How you divide them, I don't know. So we just leave them, that devils do that. I just know, here's a man who's cutting himself, he's weeping, he's crying, he can't live among people, he lives in tombs. Jesus casts out 2,000 literal devils out of him.
So what's the spirit of, so is the spirit of heaviness like the feeling the person has, or is it actually a demon?
I think it's both. See, God's talking here, right? He's not defeating the demonic spirit. He's replacing the effect of the spirit. Okay? So, give you the example. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I don't resist here. I can resist here. Okay? We wrestle here. I can't defeat him, but I can resist him. And in each one of these influences in my life, I can't remove my feeling of depression. I have to replace it. And so I'm actually kicking out some sort of demonic influence. However you can understand that. However I can understand that, it's limited. It's like another dimension influencing me, all right? Yep. And so I'm careful to say that not under every rock there's a demon. Not every one of my problems is because of demonic influence. Some of it I brought in. I wanted it. Some things some things are just my flesh, but the devil knows how to tweak it and how to activate it and how to make it explode. So you ask a good question. I can only just say it talks about the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So I say there's a spiritual influence, whether it is an individual demon. I think there are individual demons. My job is this. That's what they're there for. We have the spirit of heaviness. We have the spirit of whoredom, adultery, pornography, lust. Hosea 4:12 talks about the spirit of whoredom. Sometimes people wonder, why do they get driven and get attracted to lustful pictures and things? There's a spirit behind that pushing you. There's your flesh. You know what? Jesus doesn't rebuke the spirit. He rebukes the man who looks for it. Number F, satanic spirits. Matthew 16 has Peter saying, Lord, be it far from thee, you will not die when you go to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So Satan had convinced Peter to fight Jesus. So there are satanic spirits, there's lying spirits. Let's go to 1 Kings 22, Barry, if you'll read 22 and 23.
And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee.
Wow, a lying spirit. So all the prophets are going around prophesying to before King Ahaz and before Jehoshaphat and saying, oh, we're going to have a great victory. But who put that in their mouth? There were a lying spirit. So there are spirits that are specifically empowered to get you to lie. Number H, the spirit of divination. A woman in Acts 16:16 says that she had the spirit of divination, which is able to divine or tell the future. There's a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. So I'd rather have the spirit of love than the spirit of power and the spirit of sound mind. Bless you. There are popular spirits. 1 Corinthians 2:2, John. 1 Corinthians 2:2.
Use as lying spirits, said Jesus.
Yes, sir. Lying.
Lying spirits.
So is the spirit of fear a spirit, a demon?
Not always. Am I able to tell? I think so. Right. Or I think there is a spirit that causes us to fear. That probably is, it's a generic saying that my My fear is a spiritual fear. That's what it's saying. God didn't give you a fear that is a demonic fear. God doesn't give us that, because I should have the fear of God. But a demonic fear is something that's been influenced by a spirit. Now, whether there's a spirit of fear, I think so. Whether you take it precise, God's not giving us precise labels and names. So we can sort of just look at it generically. So I'm not looking, saying, oh, every time I go over there, there's a spirit of fear over there. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. All right, we go on there. 1 Corinthians 2:2 there, John.
For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and the crucified.
Okay, now, it should maybe say 2 Corinthians. I'm not sure if that's the right one. 1 second, 2 Corinthians 2:2. No, I'm trying to think of why I say first. I don't know what that is. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. Positive spirits. I see.
You are the God of this world, that blinded the minds of them which believe.
Now, there you are.
Yes, the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Okay, so when it comes to Christ and everything, there is a spirit that has blinded them to the value of Christ. It's a popular spirit that overwhelms people, only follow what is popular, and I think that's true. Okay, and then number K, familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. Leviticus 19:31 says, don't go after familiar spirits. Don't be looking forward to talking to your dearly departed grandmother. Familiar means you're familiar with them.
If not, then their excuse for that is like, you know, why not? Or perhaps me, or, you know, kind of thing.
Mm.
I was trying to talk to a guy about kind of praying to the saints rather than to Jesus Christ, you know. And he was just kind of, I don't think it doesn't have, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or, I don't know, I couldn't move into it.
Well, you just have to use the Bible and say it's wrong, because you're not actually talking to your to a saint, you're talking to a demon.
Mediator between God and man. But he was just like, you know, well, it doesn't say, you know.
I don't know, the Bible says worship God.
Right.
Worship God. Oh, I'm worshiping God, but I'm talking to a saint. You're wasting your time. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Familiar spirits, and then number L, seducing spirits. And doctrines of devils, the Bible talks about. 1 Timothy 4:1 says seducing spirits. Now, there are 10 right spirits. Again, I just try to categorize these things to give you a gist of it. I don't know, there are only 12 wrong spirits. There might be 24, I don't know. But there are 10, at least 10 right spirits. Seducing spirits. Those are spirits that trick you into thinking you're doing something that's in your benefit. Now let's look at the spirit of truth. Matthew 16:17. Then Jesus answered and said unto Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Hey, a spirit revealed it unto you. And what spirit was it? The spirit of my Father. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed who I was to you. So there's a spiritual influence there. The spirit of truth, chapter 10 and verse 20, still in Matthew 10:20. Right, so flesh and blood didn't tell you this. A spirit did, and the spirit was, because that's the opposite, was the spirit of my Father. Matthew 10 and verse 20. When you are delivered before a judge for being a Christian, the Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to say, for it is not ye that speak, verse 20, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So there's a spirit of truth. All right, Isaiah 11 talks about 7 spirits. One's called the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, or D, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. There's also the spirit of grace. Look at Zechariah 12:10, Romeo. Zechariah, just go back from Matthew. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10.
And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of praise and supplication.
Amen.
The spirit of praise and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him, as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him, as one grieves for his firstborn.
Wow. So pour on us the spirit of grace. So whenever you have the ability to have grace with people, it'll be because you didn't have it in you to begin with, you got it from God. The spirit of holiness is I. Romans 1:4, Barry.
And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, but resurrection from the dead.
Alright, not just according to holiness, but the Spirit of holiness. And then there's one more, the Spirit of meekness, John, 1 Corinthians 4:21.
What really shall I come unto you with a rod or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?
Okay. He wants to come with the right spirit. He wants to come with one thing. Now, all the spirits that a Christian is influenced by are all connected to the Holy Spirit. Right? They're a work of the Holy Spirit. Man, everything else is suspect. If a man be fallen, the Bible says, you go unto him with the spirit of meekness to try to help them. Any Christian, here's three, and you need to put a star by this, any Christian is capable of being filled with any of the above wrong spirits. And the only way to not end up being filled with them is to already be filled with the right spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The only way to test to see if you are filled with God's Spirit is to see if you are acting upon any of the above right spirits. If you're acting on the wrong spirits, you know you're not filled with the right one. If you're acting with the right one, you say, I guess God's in there and He's working away and maybe I'm filled. Okay. Now, the danger of toying or playing with spirits. Yes, sir.
So, the 10 right spirits are obviously not entities. They're just attitudes that come from the Holy Spirit.
I'm not sure if they're attitudes, okay? I believe that they are let me give you an example. Just like angels came and helped Peter out of prison, alright? He just didn't have an attitude. Okay, now I understand the use of the word spirit and attitude there, but there are spiritual enablements, angels that minister to us. So I call those spirits of, and whether they are actual an individual angel that's called the spirit of truth or the spirit of grace, I know what you're saying. Again, each one of these things we have to step back and take a general understanding. That's as far as I can go with it. Alright, I'm not saying that there's this angel, you know, I've got 15 spirits all working in me, no, not at all. But I check my attitude and I check what I'm filled with. And if I'm filled with anger, I believe I have a spirit of anger. Alright? You never find anybody inhabited by good angels, do you, in the Bible? No. But they're influenced by them. Okay? They are affected by them.
I think that like you said that God said that He had withheld him from sinning, you know,
that's
when
good.
He took Sarah.
That's good.
So do you think there was a ministering spirit there withholding him?
Some sort of angel? Yes. Yeah. There's a little difference with these devil's powers. These are all very small entities. Alright? They're not angels. Most things that influence people, their thinking, their feelings, their health, their decisions, are spiritual. And they're very small influences compared to angels. Angels are incredibly powerful, and I don't think that they're quite influencing. I just know that angels, it says, do minister to the saints. So that's why I say, yeah, there are angels. Okay? And they are spiritually influencing Christians. Did not an angel appear to Daniel and try to encourage him? I hate this. I wish I had better answers for you. I just know that these things are something that I try to categorize, and then you can find holes in them. Okay. I just know that it's called You know, I will pour out the Spirit of grace. We know that's connected with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of holiness. Spirit of Holy Spirit. Yes. So I don't make an issue of you need to find your guardian angel. Not at all. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll have these spiritual attributes. Maybe fruits is
and
another way to look at it.
An angel supplying the people who are in the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
Say it again.
Or the holy angels guiding the people who are believers for God and stand for God. Or the angels guide them very
well. Possibly. I'm not sure how far to take it. I'm not sure how you mean by guide. I know that the Spirit's influence, they protect us. Whether they're talking to us, I don't think so. I know the demons do. Okay, but whether angels do, I don't find that.
But God's word speaks to us.
Yes, God's word does. That's the most important thing. But here you are, it says, be careful to entertain strangers. Be particular that you go out of your way to entertain strangers, because you might be entertaining angels who are there for you. Now here's some danger with toying with spirits and trying to talk to them. You will become deceived. Alright? Matthew 24 talks about false prophets, false believers. You will, and it says, and the whole world will be deceived by these spirits. You will become, number two, captive. 2 Timothy 2:26, Barry. 2 Timothy 2:26.
And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will.
Okay, so describe for that. Give me an illustration. Here's Joseph. Maybe he's not saved. What does the Bible say happens? According to that verse.
He's taken captive by the devil.
At his will.
At the devil.
Sometimes the devil leaves him alone. Sometimes the devil just has him go along his way. Alright, so we give the gospel out to recover them. To save them. If you mess with wrong spirits, you will become captive. Number three, you'll become tormented. You'll become tormented. Matthew 18. John, if you'll read 18, verses 28 to 35. We'll just get down here to the end of E. Matthew 18, 28.
But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee off. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass.
Wow. If you play with the spirit of anger, if you play with the spirit of covetousness, if you play with the spirit of jealousy, if you play with all that thing and you don't have the ability to forgive and to let some things go, you will end up being tormented, and it'll be by God's will to allow the devil to torment you. So stay free from wrong spirits. You'll also become sick. Luke 13:11. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Wasn't a bad attitude either. It was a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, that doesn't say that she messed with some sin and became that way. We don't know how she ended up in that spirit of infirmity. But I think a lot of people are physically sick because they played around with some sin and they've never been free from it.
What about the seven spirits that are before the throne of God? Is that connected with the right spirits here?
That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in Isaiah 11:1-2 talks about the seven spirits. It lists all of them. Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge. and in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, all seven of those are all attributes of the Holy Spirit. So when he says seven spirits, it's all attributes of the one Spirit.
It
is the Holy Spirit. Last, number five, people will end up in hell if you mess with wrong spirits. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 to 12. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already working back 2,000 years ago. Only he who now letteth will let until be taken out of the way. It's the Holy Spirit. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power. How much power is that? Very. He can bring down stuff out of the heavens, and signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. If they don't believe God, don't believe his word, reject the Holy Spirit, God will give them a wrong spirit. He will give them strong delusion, they should believe a lie, and that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So people will end up in hell. John 10:10 says, oh my goodness, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that ye might have life, that ye might have life, and that more abundant. So two spirits. Two spiritual battles, two spiritual realms. Okay, we got to stop there.